Hello, everybody. You're here on the All Sports Best podcast. This week, we feature a former running back from UNLV and now a president, founder, and trainer of Phase One Sports in Las Vegas. His name is Michael Waters. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to start off the first thing on this interview, and I've got a couple of directions I want to take this, but I wanted to ask you about your experience as an athlete at a top-level program, first and foremost.
Yeah. You said my experience with, you said playing football?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Southern California, and for me, you know, football was kind of, you know, was way of life. You know, that was, you know, my older brother played, I played. It was, you know, just something that we did, you know, in the neighborhood. And really fell in love with the sport early and progressed and had the opportunity to ultimately play at UNLV, which was a great experience. I was a part of John Robinson's first class at UNLV.
That's
came
awesome.
In 99 and had a great time and, you know, went to the bowl game and, you know, did some good stuff while we were there, man, and that really was a great experience for me.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that kind of shaped you into who you are today. So my question now is, you know, how did your time as an athlete altogether help to shape you into the success that you are today?
I honestly feel like, you know, a lot of my background and my business side of what I've been doing as an entrepreneur, it all stems from sport. It all stems from football for me. You know, the discipline, the challenges, the ups and downs, you know, learning how to compete and be competitive on different teams and different levels. And reality is all those same, you know, things that we learned as athletes, those are the same ones that I carry with me, you know, now in the business world. So, you know, I feel like I really owe any success that I've had in business to, you know, that 5, 6, 7-year-old start of being an athlete and having different coaches along the way and different motivations. So I think it's really the key to the whole puzzle.
So so kind of what I'm getting for the most part is that mindset really kind of is what you got out of sports more than anything for business success.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I think any athlete that competed at a decent level, I think has it. But I think there's a disconnect between applying it and making it connect. You know, for me, I feel like from the beginning, I've really made it connect to where, you know, I still look at my business as, you know, kind of a game analogy. You know, there's different competitors. There's other gyms that do similar things to us. There's ups and downs. You know, 1 minute you're having a great month, you know, the next month you have a loss. You know, there's
right.
So all those same things are really just, you know, what I feel like has turned into a game of business. And I think it makes it more enjoyable, but it also lets you know that it's more of a journey. It's not just a easy process, but something you got to keep working towards.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And I was wondering, after finding success in sports as an athlete, did you just jump into training and mentoring, or, you know, was it a smooth transition to do so?
You know, for me, my story is probably a little bit different on that end because, you know, by the time I got to my junior year of college, you know, I started to really ask myself what was the difference between myself and other people that I grew up with. You know, in my neighborhood back home, you know, I had dealt with one of my closest friends, you know, had ended up going a different direction and ended up, you know, going to jail and actually just completed a 17-year sentence, I think it was.
Wow.
17-year. My nephew, short after, went to prison as well. He actually just came home from a 10-year sentence. And when all this was happening and I was here in Vegas, I would go home and I would just kind of ask myself, what's the difference between me and them? Because reality is we all grew up together. We all did the same things. We all hung out together. We did everything the same, but I had a passion for football,
right?
You know, and I hated school, you know, probably as much as any other kid, but I loved football. So, you know, when it was time to go, for me, I went to a junior college because I didn't have the grades coming out of high school. I didn't qualify for a scholarship. So I had to go junior college. And then, you know, of course, I wanted to continue to play, so I had to get my AA degree, and that gave me the ability to transfer to UNLV. So for me, it was never really about school. It never really was about education. It was about football. So when I finished, as I got, you know, towards the end of my career at UNLV, I just started to put those pieces together to say, I wonder how many young athletes, especially young African-Americans that grew up in the same type of environment that I did, mm-hmm. how many of them, if they had the right mentor, the right training, help with recruiting, help with scholarship, how many could I curve or redirect their path? And then by the time they get to college, they'll be mature enough to make better decisions.
Yeah.
And that's really how phase one started. That was the base of it. So I came into the game a little bit different, but for me, it was really that simple. Grab kids that reminded me of me, redirect them, and by the time they're juniors in college, they'll have a different perspective. They've seen more. They've experienced more. They've done some traveling. They've done some different stuff to change their perspective. And all of a sudden, now they're thinking about career and path and other stuff versus, you know, the alternative, which I saw a lot of people do, especially in my age group.
Okay. Yeah, and I was, you know, just by listening to this, because it's an awesome story, absolutely, to help other people and kind of getting that started. Would you say that that had a part in you naming the actual training facility phase one? Did that have a part of that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it. You know, phase one is just that. It's the beginning. It's the first phase of that journey, you know, and that's why, you know, I named it, you know, phase one. Even back in 2003, it was like, okay, this is really the start, because we don't know the end, you know, but this is the beginning of that mission.
I think that there's a bunch of people that think, you know, it might be quick, might be simple to start doing what you love and make it your own business. But, you know, I've come to understand that that's not the case. What kind of hard work did you put into to grow phase one?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, I'll be honest with you, man. It's a lot of work. It still is a lot of work. And in the beginning, it was even more so. You know, I recall a number of people, and I mean close people to me, you know, people that I would still consider mentors and things like that, that literally would tell me directly to my face, at the end of the day, they would say, you know, phase one looks cool, but what are you going to do to make a living?
Wow.
You know, what are you going to do to make money? Where are you going to work at? You know, this sounds like something that would be great for the weekend, you know, right. Saturday, you know, run around with some football players and that kind of mentality. And I did it. You know, I was the first doing it. There wasn't a lot of other businesses. It wasn't like it is today where there's these performance centers all over the country.
Right.
You know, so it was really like an early phase of it. And luckily, you know, I was just dumb enough to not listen, you know, and just say, hey, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. And I think the second part of it is I started it very early. I started it fresh out of college, so I really didn't have anything. So I didn't really have anything to lose either. You know what I mean?
Right,
I
right.
I didn't have a, you know, family or people that were going, hey, we need to eat. You know, for me,
right.
If I had $3 and I can go to Jack in the Box and get a couple of tacos, I felt good about it. You know, so it was really just great timing, and then that perseverance to just keep doing it and keep working and just going from there.
Did people's, you know, skepticism kind of motivate you? Did it fuel you? Or was it, you know, because you said you were dumb enough to do it. I think it more so sounds like you were motivated.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was motivated, but I mean, like I said before, it was also a different incentive or different motive for me, because, you know, I had really, you know, wanted to help young athletes. You know what I mean? That was a big part of it, you know, just because of the role that football had played in my life. So when you have kind of a different, you know, why, you know, you always hear people talk about your why. When you have a different why, I think it gives you a different level of motivation. And I think the most successful entrepreneurs and business owners are always going to be the ones that are doing something that they're passionate about, that they care about, because that's what will give you the energy to get through all the naysayers and the negative people and, you know, keep climbing even when it doesn't look so good. So I think that was a big part of it.
In order to be the best training facility that you can be, obviously you have to keep up to date with what's going on in, you know, athletic training and, you know, weight conditioning, all of that stuff. How would you say that working out has changed since you started phase one? Because I know, you know, resistant bands are a big part of things now as opposed to what they used to be. And, you know, weights might not be as much you know, conditioning? What have you learned from just how training's changed altogether?
I mean, it's totally different, you know, totally different. I think now it's obviously a lot more, you know, scientific, I guess is the one word we could use, where, you know, it's more precision now. It's more, you know, detailed. I think in the early stages, it was just a little more of the grind to it, you know, just kind of grind and, you know, old school mentality. Hey, we're going to train for 3 hours a day and, you know, 6 days a week, and that's just what we're doing, you know. But now you got high-level athletes that are training 3-4 days a week, you know, hour 10-minute sessions, and you're really fine-tuning and detailing out things a little bit more. So I think that the science of it is definitely improved. You got, you know, with so many different recovery factors now, you know, cryotherapy and, you know, all these different, you know, techniques for that. So I think it's definitely advanced, and I think it's going to continue to advance. But, you know, the common factor will always be you still got to show up and put in the work. You know, right. I think there's that thin line between technology and creativity and actual functional training, and that's where we want to kind of stay on, is that functional training road to get to where we're going.
Right. You guys have been able to find a solid balance, obviously, in order to, you know, retain the athletes that you are able to retain, and then also to land new athletes. And right now I've seen that you guys have a few marquee athletes that have gone through your facility, including, you know, well, I'm sure you can name them a lot better than I can, but some of the names that pop up were Brandon Marshall, Martavis Bryant, and Chris Cyborg of the UFC. So how are you able to kind of land these marquee athletes?
You know, I think, honestly, I think it's three different parts. I think part number one, for Brandon Marshall, for example, I started working with Brandon when he was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
You know, so he's really a testament to longevity and us helping him in high school, then also helping him get his scholarship to Nevada Reno, also helping train him during his career at Nevada Reno, and then all the way through draft and now, you know, with the Denver Broncos. So he's one of those unique situations where, you know, he walked in as a 15-year-old high school kid that had no clue of what he was going to accomplish. And, and now he's the captain of the Denver Broncos defense. So I think that's one scenario. And then I think you also have other scenarios like Martavis, for example, who, you know, whose agent and people in his circle, you know, have done their research and kind of went, hey, this seems like this would be the best fit for you for the off season. And then he comes in, and in a matter of a couple sessions, he goes, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. And now I feel like he's one of those guys that'll be around for a while because he's getting the right work, he's getting the right treatment, and we're creating, you know, programs that are specific for him. So I think those kind of scenarios. And then Chrissy, I think, is one of those, you know, she's one of those just hard workers that just love the grind. And I mean, she just loves our style of training and how aggressive we are, and how we can prep her for a fight mentally and physically. So I think it's just, you know, just a stamp on what we are and what we do as a whole that, you know, allows us to continue to grow and continue to move.
Absolutely. And that kind of just props me into my next, I guess kind of my next question on this would be, what are the extremes? I've seen, you know, kind of what you've been able to do. You work with kids that are very, very young, all the way up into, you know, adults that are, you know, at their, probably a lot after their prime. And so my question for you is, what extremes have you been able to work with and still be able to, you know, be effective?
You mean as far as age groups?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, we start at 5 years old. We start at five all the way through the pros. And I think what it comes down to is, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, hey, 5, 6, 7 years old is obviously too young for performance training, too young to take it to that extreme. But, you know, where I would be willing to argue is, you know, at 5, 6 years old, there's a lot of motor skills and a lot of base mechanic skills that can be developed. Obviously, we're not doing any weights or anything extreme. You know, we're doing single leg balance drills, you know, running form, arm mechanics, and we're also teaching them, you know, what I consider the lost art of competing.
Right.
You know, still getting the kids, because, I guess a simple analogy would be this. When you and I were, I don't know how old you are, but when I was 10, 11, 8, 9, we were still racing in the street. We were still climbing fences. We were still climbing trees. Everyone wanted a treehouse in the backyard. you know, we were still doing a lot of that to develop that natural athleticism.
Absolutely.
Where the kids today are not nearly as active as we were, and so it's almost, I don't want to call it a requirement, but it's almost a requirement for them to be in this type of program early, just to develop the basic motor skills that we develop, because you're racing your next door neighbor, you know, to the water fountain every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I think it's just the mentality of that is really where the game has really changed. And now, you know, the other part of it is this. By now, what, by 10, 11 years old, kids are coming in telling us that they play soccer or they play baseball.
Right.
Like, that's it. They've already decided that is the sport that I play at 10.
That's crazy.
Where at 10, we play basketball, football, soccer, any ball, we were going to be playing it because of the season change.
For sure.
So what that did was, even though I was a football player, ultimately, by playing baseball, by running track, by playing basketball, we developed all these different skill sets and movement and athleticism, and so we were fine. But these kids today, they don't, you know, it's not the same approach. We rarely have a kid that plays more than one sport now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big difference.
Definitely. And that's what I was going to ask you as well on the difference part of it was, is there an obvious difference in the athletes that do and don't make it pro out of your, you know, training facility, or just that you might just see from observing?
Not a huge, I think the pro, you know, turning pro, I think is one of those things where it's a lot of factors. I mean, I have athletes that I feel like have the natural ability, the, you know, size, everything that it would take, but they just never get the opportunity. You know, I have other athletes that, you know, that may have not been, you know, or an athlete that we may not have looked at and when he's going to turn pro, and they end up getting the opportunity. So it's just, that's one of those things where there's so many factors into it, what teams are looking for, you know, who's in the draft class, who's the free. I mean, there's so many things that all we can really do is make sure that each of our athletes is prepared to the best of our ability. And I think, you know, that's just one of those where, you know, you kind of get the opportunity when it presents itself. But from a training standpoint, you know, I think these kids are developing a lot faster in what they do. But I still think there's a lot of space for just the natural athlete to be successful. Those kids that can just run, jump, you know, kind of do it all.
Right.
Because they're becoming more the rare breed. And that's why you're starting to see, you know, those athletes in the NFL, the NBA, the ones that are now just so athletic, no one can stop them. You know, it's just because they're now the rare breed versus before that was what the game was made of. So I think it's turning a little bit.
For anybody that's listening now, maybe a young athlete or even an adult, you know, could you simplify reaching your fitness goals into three things, maybe three phrases or even just three, you know, groups of, you know, items you need to reach your goals in fitness?
I think number one would be consistency. You know, you have to be consistent. I think a lot of young athletes, and you know, some of them might get offended by this, but I think a lot of young athletes have an entitled mentality where they feel like everything's going to be given to them, and they don't have that consistent work ethic.
Sure.
You know, that just day in, day out, you know, show up and just get it done mentality. So consistency is number one. I think number two is committing to being a complete athlete. And when I say that, meaning, you know, nutrition, meaning training, meaning sleep, meaning, you know, recovery, taking care of their body, you know, commit to it. Because if you're trying to do it for the long run, your body's going to break, you know. So the better you can take care of it, and even at, you know, 13, 14 years old, high school athletes, still take care of your body, because you want that body, obviously, to you know, get you to the college level and hopefully one day to the professional level. So you got to start early taking care of it. And then the last piece is what I call the art of competition. You gotta compete, man. You gotta, you know, and like I said, in our generation, we did it naturally. But now, if you watch, you know, if you watch a Michael Jordan, you watch how competitive he was, and then you take today's, you know, monster on the court like a LeBron. Mm. There's still two different mentalities.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you watch Michael Jordan game after game, he wanted to rip your head off every single night that he dribbled a basketball.
Right.
LeBron is a superior athlete monster. Some nights he'll dominate you. Other nights he plays basketball. I love him. He's one of my favorites. But it's the mentality. Imagine if he woke up with the same mentality that Jordan had when he had to play against the Pistons every year.
Right.
Imagine that on the 6'8", 260-pound frame of LeBron. That's that's the last piece. I think these athletes need to just really learn how to compete and have that mentality that, you know, Kobe had it. You know, staying in the gym after a loss because he missed a shot. You know, that's just a – that's rare now. You know, it's not as common as it once was. So those are the three that I would say – if you take those with you, man, you're gonna land in a pretty good position.
Yeah, and I was gonna ask you that as well because I'm a big Kobe fan, and I was gonna say, where does Kobe fit in this? But yeah, I got you. You know, you've gotten recognized for multiple awards. You know, being in organizations, including Business Person of the Year in Nevada, school, mentoring at schools, FCA charitable organizations, and you know more. What does it mean to you to be able to help? Even extending past sports.
Okay, what was that again? I kind of lost you a little bit at the end.
Oh, you're good. I just said, what does it mean to you to be able to kind of help people outside of sports even?
I mean, for me, it's, I had to learn a lot, about business, just kind of on my own in a sense, early on, when I first went into it was a place called Nevada Micro Enterprise, and I went in there because, this was, the company that was going to help me learn about business and et cetera and how to start a business and corporations and all that stuff. And I went in, and I remember a lady named Anna Seifert asked me, she said, sounds good. What's your business plan? And I was like, my what? I don't have a business plan. So she sent me home, had to make a business plan. So I really feel like I had to learn everything from scratch, literally. And so I just feel like I have like a certain obligation or passion to help other entrepreneurs, help other business owners, especially in our industry, in the fitness industry, because I tell people all the time, I don't consider myself the best trainer in the world, but I do feel like I've invested enough time in business to be able to continue to grow and continue to be successful. Well, I know trainers that can out-train me any day of the week, but if they haven't figured out the business side of this, I'm not going to say they're not successful, but they're maybe not to the level that they should be, if that makes sense. And everyone has their own goals. So maybe they don't want, a facility as big as mine with all these trainers and all the headaches and everything that comes with it. But, so I feel like there is an obligation from a business side of it to help people out and give away whatever knowledge I have.
Yeah, and because of your success, and this is kind of where I'm headed with this interview is, we talked about three things that are going to help you with your fitness goals. What would you say would be would they be the same three things for achieving your dreams? Because I know that you were able to, do that.
Yep. And I would say exactly that, exactly that. And I think the only one I would change is the competitiveness, being able to compete is a little bit different. That competitiveness is not necessarily with, like for me, I don't watch, there's a couple other gyms in town, performance training centers in town, right. A couple of them within a couple miles of Phase One. I don't even know what they're doing. I couldn't tell you what their prices are. I don't know who's over there. I don't know anything. So from that perspective, I don't compete in the same way. The way I compete in business is I'm constantly trying to figure out how to get better. Like, what can we do? What can we add? What can we do? How can we get better at what Phase One does? You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
I think that would be the one area that I would change. And then also staying in our lane. Like, what do we do great? Like, what are we known for? What is our brand? And that's what we do. So when people come in and say, hey, why don't you guys add this? Why don't you add that? If it doesn't fit our brand and our mission, I could probably make $1 million doing it. But it's not what we do. It's not who we are. So I choose not to do it. Let's stay in our lane and let's keep moving. And let's be the best at what we do.
Absolutely. That's a good way to look at it too. I mean, did you take Stay Your Lane from LeVar Ball? Are you a Ball family fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan necessarily, but the principle is what it is. Stay your lane.
Yes, sir. What has been your biggest, cause I know that part of being, successful in this industry is that you have to have people that are going to feed athletes into your program. What has been your biggest partnership, you know, agency or team or, you know, whoever's helping you get athletes to recognize your training facilities?
Well, you know, I think we do a lot of word of mouth. And I think the growth that we've had in the last year, year and a half, you know, a lot of that stems from my partner, who his name is Mark Hennis, who's also has a law agency here in town. But I think it becomes one of those things where you continue to grow, and then over time you'll meet the right people or the right person, in my case, that gives you the ability and gives you the extra support to be able to just really take it to another level. And so I think that was important and definitely a game changer for that. You know, having a partner that has the same vision, that's on the same page, the same pursuit that I have for Phase One Sports, you know, and I think that was huge. And then from the athlete side, I think it's just executing what we do and then using the word of mouth and them, you know, going out in the community and saying, I train at Phase One, and they're proud of it. They, you know, they want to wear the shirt, they want to wear the gear,
yeah,
because they're a part of our family and our circle. So I think from the business side, you know, when the time presents itself or the right person, you know, having that strong partnership to where you guys can continue to have the same vision and continue to grow and build the brand even bigger. And then from the training side, it's just executing and doing your job, so that way they, you know, they want to tell everybody that this is what they're a part of. And I think those are the two keys for that.
Great way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. My next, you know, we're going to lead into the future here. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And then where do you see Phase One in 5 years?
Oh, man, that's a great one. I mean, there's obviously, you know, we have some stuff that we're working on currently that I think will come to fruition and grow by then. We've branched out a little bit. We have an operation that just started out in Hawaii, so that's been, you know, good.
Wow.
We're just getting off the ground and getting going. So our Phase One Hawaii is going to be big. And then also there's some areas in town that we're looking at that hopefully will come to life pretty soon here in the near future, hopefully before this year closes out. And it's just, you know, more growth and continue to build our online presence and you know, just continue to build the brand. I mean, there's obviously some detailed stuff that we'll leave off the radar for now, but we're definitely, we got some big stuff coming, man. So we should be in a good position here over the next 2, 3, and even 5 years out.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to hear. And I don't know if I'm cracking into your, you know, what you're trying to keep on the down low, but my next question was, you know, is Phase One looking to work with the Las Vegas Raiders?
Man, we would love to work with the Raiders. I mean, and here's what I think. Here's just my thoughts on it. I think we're going to end up working with the Raiders in one form or another.
Awesome.
I think from one perspective, we're within a couple miles of their location, of their training facility, their practice facility, and the stadium. So we're in a great location for that. I think, you know, the Raiders, with us having NFL athletes in here going to offseason, I think naturally, you know, we're going to definitely attract some of those guys to come in and get some offseason work. And then I think, just as important, I think we're going to become the home for the Raiders and their families, you know, their kids that play sports, you know, the little, you know, junior that plays football and coming to town. And I think we're definitely positioned to be, you know, one of those kind of natural homes for, you know, the wives, the families, and the kids of, you know, the athletes on the team. And then, of course, we'll get a few of them in here as well. And, you know, joining Brandon and Martavius and all the you know, the other guys, Corey Tumos with the Chargers, Xavier Grimble, another Steeler. You know, these are guys that are already in our program. So I definitely think, you know, we'll attract some of the Raiders as well.
Yeah, that'll be huge. All Sports Best is sponsored by Kaleidoscope's Ice Cream and More, Constructors, Inc., Albertson's Market, and Bowen Insurance. We'd like to also thank MGA Sports Agency for helping set this up. We're here with Michael Waters once again. We're going to do this thing that I like to call rapid fire. I'm very excited to do these things with anybody I interview because it's a lot of fun. What I'm going to do is I'm going to rattle off questions for you. You're just going to answer them, and it's just going to be off the top of your head. So are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Number one, coolest piece of equipment at your gym.
Wait, who's what?
I said, what is the coolest piece of equipment at your gym?
Reverse Hyper by Rogue Fitness.
Okay. Most memorable Phase One moment?
Taking a busload of about 60 high school football players down to a Nike combine in 2010 and going home with the number one score in every single category at that event.
Wow, beautiful. Favorite cheat meal?
favorite cheat meal would have to be In-N-Out.
Awesome.
Double-double, animal style.
All right. That's awesome. Ways to reach you on social media. What's your handle?
Oh, mine is at I am phase one. I am P-H-A-S-E and number one. And then, of course, phase one sports.
Awesome. Preferred gear brand, shoes, shirts, hats. What brand are you rocking?
Oh, man, you hit me with a hard one, man. That's a hard one. Okay, here's what I'll say, and I know it's not the answer you want. I've been a Nike guy forever, and right now our Phase 1 football program is sponsored by Adidas.
Wow.
So I'm gradually crossing over. I'm working on it. It's been emotional, but I'm doing my best.
It takes a lot out of you, huh?
Yeah, man. It's more stressful than everything else we've talked about so far.
What kind of hype music are you guys playing at your facility?
Oh, right now, Nipsey Hussle.
Oh, the nice.
Nipsey Hussle Victory Lab CD has been on repeat for about 7 days straight.
Yeah, the new release, huh?
Yes, sir.
Favorite NFL team?
Don't have one, and that's a legitimate answer because I literally base the games I'm going to watch on who's playing. If it's one of my athletes or athletes that I like, that's the games I watch.
That's when you know you've made it. Favorite protein? Favorite protein powder? Do you have any favorite nutritional items?
Mine right now is Muscle Farm Combat because it tastes the best and they got the coolest flavors.
Awesome. iPhone or Android?
iPhone, 100%. Cool. Android people need some work. They need some life skills.
Absolutely. Coolest event you've attended?
Coolest event, actually, more recently is a Las Vegas Knights game. I went to with my business partner, Mark Hennis, and it was an awesome experience. I mean, the energy was crazy in that T-Mobile arena.
They're awesome, right? They're doing really well?
Yeah, and they're killing it, man. It was a great experience. Great night. Favorite piece of memorabilia. I have a signed football by Marshall Faulk, and I played running back. So when he was at San Diego State, he was my guy, and I got him to sign a football for me a few years back.
Favorite game you ever played in?
Favorite game was going to be my rivalry in high school, Moroni High School against Duarte High School, 182 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns, and we won the game, and that was my most memorable one.
Dang, you're taking it way back. That's cool.
Yes, sir. 1995.
All of the sports you've trained people for, just the full span.
What was that? The last part?
All of the sports that you've trained people for.
Oh, I mean, all of them. I mean, lacrosse, MMA, football, basketball, baseball. I mean, pretty much just about every sport. Hockey, soccer, of course. I mean, pretty much all of them.
What are the best perks of living in Las Vegas? This is the last one on Rapid Fire.
I think 24-hour town, so always something to do. And I think just the cost of living is great because that helps out a lot.
All right. Okay, so to kind of help or to conclude this interview, and by the way, I really appreciate you being on.
No worries. I appreciate you, man, for having me.
Thank you. It would be the advice that you would have for young athletes with hopes for professional sports, just from anywhere, doing anything, what would be your last piece of advice for them?
Be a student of the game. Study the game. Don't just watch. You know, I tell my athletes, don't watch like a fan. A fan just watches and cheers and hopes their team wins. But a student of the game is actually watching and learning plays and learning why they're running certain formations, what's the defense doing, what's the offense doing. And that's whatever sport. I don't care what it is. So study the game. Don't just watch it.
Awesome advice. Thank you very much. Is there anyone you'd like to shout out before we go?
Basically, yeah. My partner, Mark Hennis, also MBA Sports, who's awesome, and all their combine guys that are getting ready in our facility, man. We've done a great job with them, and we're excited about what they got coming and getting a couple of those boys into the NFL here very soon. So shout out to them, and then as well as my all my trainers. I have about 9-10 trainers here at Phase 1, and they're the ones that allow me to sit here on the podcast while they keep the flow of the universe going. So appreciate everybody.
Thank you so much for being on once again, Michael. It's been a great experience talking with you and hearing everything that you had to, you know, have to offer.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it.